We have three passages of Scripture this morning. Our first comes to us from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where the Apostle Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing. And then in Philippians 4:6, Paul then encourages us, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then finally, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9, it reads, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you." The word of God for the people of God.
As I mentioned this morning earlier in the service, today we are worshiping in the spirit and tradition of the Taizé community in France. Taizé is a beautiful place in the region of Burgundy. And if you can imagine a large cathedral that is flanked by vineyards on either side, where they grow the most delicious wine, or the most delicious grapes that will then later be turned into wine. And then empty fields where people camp as they come to participate in the life of the community alongside the brothers who live there year-round. The brothers live in dormitories, and then there's a large cafeteria to feed over 1,000 people who can be there at any given time. And then different colored tents in the fields and in the vineyards where people camp throughout their experience. Now that you've got a picture of the setting, I want to give you a picture of what the daily life looks like at Taizé. You rise early in the morning with the sunrise, and before you even go to breakfast, there is a time of morning prayer and worship. This lasts about 40 minutes. Then you go and you eat your porridge and get your fruit and everything. And then you go back to worship all morning long. You break for lunch. There is a period of rest. And after you've taken your nap, you go out in the community to serve. This can take on the form of different things. Maybe it is helping in an orphanage or a school. Maybe it's working on a farm or a food pantry. After you serve, you come home for dinner, and then into the evening, there is more evening prayer, more worship through the night. You break once more for a time of fellowship, and you meet with a prayer partner, one-on-one, to share your joys and concerns. And as you are finished praying, you go into a vesper service, which is a late-night worship service. Finally, you go to bed and get ready to do it all over again the next day. Worship at Taizé is central to life there. That is your sole purpose for being there. The Taizé community, as I said earlier, was founded by Brother Roger, who believed in prayer as one of the blessings that we are afforded by being in a relationship with God. We are indeed extraordinarily blessed to be able to meet our God, a God of love who pursues us with his grace, who wants to take up residence in our lives. We're blessed to be able to meet our God each and every day, as often as we have a want or a need, in prayer. We can have an intimate relationship, a conversation, just like we would with our spouse before we turn out the lights at night, or a conversation with a friend over a cup of coffee, or maybe with a trusted mentor who knows how to not sugarcoat anything. This is the intimacy with which we can go to God in prayer. We can go to God in prayer and know that within mere moments, we will find blessed release, radical reconciliation, true acceptance, and yes, even unconditional love. The Christian brothers who live at Tezeh, about 100 of them, orient their whole lives to prayer. They pray throughout the day, before meals, before they go to bed, and when they wake up. They pray when they work and when they worship. They pray for God's sake, for their own sake, and for the sake of others. They go to God in prayer when the world is all as it should be, and when there is a personal or communal crisis. They go to God with their own joys and concerns and with those of their prayer partners from all over the world, 52 weeks a year. They have a relationship with God, and they pray without ceasing. Because it was first taught by Jesus, and emphasized in the scriptures. Now, I know that St. Paul's is a community of faith that also values prayer. We profess a core conviction that prayer is an effective, powerful, and transformative means of experiencing God. Do we not? We feel like praying together is an essential part of who we are as Christians and as United Methodists. Amen? So, what would it look like for us to follow in the footsteps of these monks and Jesus and orient our lives around prayer? The scripture that Bill read for us this morning gave us some guidance. And it's easy stuff, right? Pray without ceasing. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Offer prayers of supplication and thanksgiving. Now, the Christian brothers at Tezeh are prayer masters, right? They've got this stuff. They're some of the only people I know who actually pray without ceasing. It's a hard job. They've got all the chants and many scripture passages memorized. They can focus for hours, whereas some of us get distracted when we pray. They seamlessly integrate prayer into their daily life and work. They know how to pray. They're comfortable asking God for things that they need and want. They're comfortable praying on behalf of others. They're comfortable praying out loud and in the body of Christ. So in order for us to orient ourselves towards prayer in that same way, we have to feel comfortable doing it in the first place. The more comfortable we feel, the more we'll practice it. We know that frequency and repetition build mastery. And so, if we want to be prayer masters and worship like they do, there's some things we can learn from them. There are three, actually. The first thing we can learn from the brothers in the Tezeh community is to approach our prayer conversations with humility. When we go to God in prayer, go with humility. This makes sense to us because when we pray, we often pray in postures of humility. We bow our heads, or we kneel, or we open our hands, or sometimes we lay in bed or prostrate on the floor. Sometimes we even pray in the shower, don't we? When we do this, when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, we honor our relationship. We recognize that God is the higher power whom we respect and we revere. Though he is higher than us, the miracle is we can still have a relationship. God is approachable. God is our friend. God walks with us each and every day. And this is indeed the gift of relationship. When we approach the conversation with humility, we can pray on behalf of ourselves. We can pour our heart out before God. We recognize our dependence upon God, our failures as human people who live in the world. We acknowledge our ignorance and say when we need help. We share our vulnerability, all the while trusting that God knows us inside and out and knows that his strength is perfect in our weakness. When we approach the conversation with humility, we are also in a position to pray on behalf of others, whether that's a family member or a friend, a neighbor or a stranger. We can discover empathy, what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes and know the hardships and trials they must be facing in their life. We pray all the time here at St. Paul's on behalf of others. And we know that it brings us new perspective, that it humbles us, and that it draws us closer together as a community of faith. When we're closer together as a community, we're all closer to God. And so humility is something we want to strive for when we are praying. This last week, I had the opportunity to be humbled in the sight of the Lord. Has that ever happened to you? Woo! I went on a pastoral care visit to see our sister in Christ, Jean Kenaw, at Clark Retirement Home. And as I greeted her and visited with her, and she told me stories about her family life and her time parenting and what it's like to live in a community like Clark, and she gave me a long laundry list of things that she needed help with, things that I could pray for her about, her health, her family, her attitude, her spiritual dependence upon God, some aches and pains that she had, trouble telling time, you know, all of these things. And after about 45 minutes of Jean going, she finally stopped and said, "Pastor, I've been rambling on and on and on, but I want to know how life is at St. Paul's. What can you tell me? Talk to me about your life and your role and your responsibilities. Tell me about your son, Michael." And then the most humbling part of it all is when I took her hands in mine and we had a time of prayer together. I was just about to say amen, and she took the reins right out of my hand and started praying for me and for you and for our church. And the first words out of her mouth were, "Oh Lord, I have so many needs, but I know I'm not the only one." She approached the conversation with humility and with grace, knowing that her relationship with God is a gift, and that when we bow our heads and open our hands and our hearts, and when we pray to God, when we pour ourselves out, when we recognize our dependence on God and are willing to be vulnerable with each other, God meets us there. God always meets us during a time of prayer. And often, we are the ones who are going during our prayer time, right? We often have a lot to say when we're praying. But the Christian brothers at Tezeh remind us that it's important to be willing to listen as much as we speak when we are praying. I know we've all been at a dinner party where someone at the table dominated the conversation, have we not? Someone wanted to talk about their agenda, their opinion, their politics, their story, their wonderful children, right? And they go on and on and on to the point where it's hard to get a word in edgewise. It's hard to pay attention and be a sympathetic listener. We need to remember that it's important to listen as much as we speak. So as often as we are praying for something and giving our petitions and our supplications and our needs and our wants and our desires and our hopes and our dreams to God, we need to take some time, maybe just 30 seconds at the start, to simply listen. To persevere as patient, attentive participants in this prayer conversation. To notice the still, small voice through which God is speaking to us. And to tend to our need for silence and solitude. It's often in the silence where we feel lost, where we feel uncomfortable, where we feel the most wounded. But that is often the space where God can work, where the Holy Spirit can intercede on our behalf, and we can find hope, where God can show us where His grace is working in our life, where we'll discover an alternate perspective, or maybe someone else that we need to be praying for. Another situation that needs to be turned over. A person we can ask for help. I believe that this is indeed the purpose of the prayer partners at Tezeh. When people come from all over the world and throughout the whole body of Christ to worship at Tezeh, they meet people who are unlike themselves, who have different needs and different wants, different spiritual journeys. And every night before they go to bed, they have to come together in an open field and share their joys and concerns. One person talks and the other person listens. And then the roles switch so that you go to bed knowing that someone cares about you, that someone is praying for you, that someone has heard the intimate things that are on your heart and has taken them to God on your behalf. I wonder if there is a person here at St. Paul's or in our community that you could partner with in prayer. Today we'll hear some joys and concerns later on in the service. And I wonder if you could go to any of those people and say, I am praying for you. I am taking that concern to God on your behalf. I am with you in this journey. I am walking alongside you. Finally, the third thing that the Christian brothers at Tezeh can teach us comes right out of the scripture from that passage in Philippians that says, "Do not worry about anything." Like I said, it's easy, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So there's two things here that the author of Philippians is asking us to balance. That's prayers of petition, that's asking for stuff, and prayers of thanksgiving, that's saying thanks for stuff. I have a little niece on Joel's side of the family named Elizabeth Claire, and we call her Lizzie for short. And Lizzie is about 6 years old right now, and she's learning to pray independently. And she loves to say the mealtime grace. So whenever we're together in Milwaukee as a family, and we're gathered for a cookout or something like that, Lizzie's mom comes to her and says, "Okay, Lizzie, it's time for grace." And she has everybody take hands. We all hold hands. And then she starts to pray. And Lizzie can pray, let me tell you. She prays for her mom and dad and for her sister Hannah and for Aunt Judy and Aunt Anne and for Uncle Craig and for Uncle Joel and for Aunt Erin and for her doggie and for her kitty and for the birdies in the trees and for the fish in the sea. And she prays for her stuffed animals. There are a lot of them. And she prays for her neighbors and the students in her school, and she prays for her favorite teachers. And then she starts to pray for the people she knows at church. And after that, she goes to her in-laws' family. And the list goes on and on. And sooner or later, Lizzie's mom squeezes her hand and says, "How do we end prayers, Liz?" And she says, "All God's people say, amen." The thing that Lizzie does right in her prayers is that she says thank you first. We might not ever bless the food, mind you, because she has so many people to thank God for. Sometimes we can get caught up in our own concerns, asking God for the things we need, for the things we want, for the things that we see that are just messed up and going wrong and need to be fixed because they're broken and they hurt us and they hurt other people, right? Sometimes we offer so many prayers of petition that we need to be reminded to balance that out with prayers of thanksgiving. So, one of the things I want to do right now to close out my sermon is to hear from you today. What are you thankful for in your life, in your spiritual journey, in your church, in our world? Tell me, tell me, tell me.
Cousin Richard Smith of Fort Wayne, who has been my
friend. Tom's thankful for a lifelong friend named Richard. Thank you. Marilyn. Mm-hmm. St. Paul's has lots of unpaid servants that we can be thankful for each and every day. The greeters and the ushers, the folks in the sound booth, the musicians. Joyce, tell me what you're thankful for. For all your friends and neighbors. Thank you. Carol.
I'm thankful for the people who step up in the office when we need them.
Woohoo! Me too. Volunteers who step up in the office when we need them. Peg and Marilyn and all those folks who help fold the newsletter and get that ready to mail. Absolutely. Dick, tell me what you're thankful for.
I'm thankful for my friend Bob Richards, who had a terrible fall.
Dick's thankful for his friend Bob and for his recovery after a fall. Thank you. Dottie. for the health of your family. Thanks be to God. The whole world is in bloom right now, isn't it? And it is beautiful. So we give thanks to God. You cashed in on your auction item. So not only are you thankful for the spaghetti dinner and the fellowship time, but for the gift that that was. Wonderful. Yes, yes, for camp scholarships, right. Thanks be to God. I am thankful for my mother-in-law, Lynn Peer Fitzgerald, who is retiring today after 40 years of ministry as an elder in the United Methodist Church. Peg is thankful for the ministry of Bill Cummings, yes indeed, whom we will honor and pray for a little bit later today. Anyone that I missed in the peanut gallery? The next hymn that we are going to sing is in the Faith We Sing, and it's called In the Lord I'll Be Ever Thankful. And the lyrics go like this. In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord I will rejoice. Look up to God. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, for the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, for the Lord is near. This song is a reminder to me, and I hope it will be to you as well, that as we balance our prayers of petition with prayers of thanksgiving, the Lord always draws near to us. The Lord always listens, and the Lord always provides. This is a gift that we have from a good and gracious God who is willing to be in relationship with us, who is willing to participate in the conversation of our prayer life, who is willing to go there with us on good days and bad, when we are broken and when we are feeling less than whole. When we are at our most humble and our most vulnerable or our most prideful, our God is there, and we can approach him and be thankful. We can approach him and rejoice. We can approach him and know that we need not be afraid. Thanks be to God. Amen.